Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 806. It's the 20th of June, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Carl Smithson, Chief Executive Officer of Stellar Diamonds. That's STEL ticker. And Carl talks about the $2 million sale of their assets in the Republic of Guinea and the focus on the Kimberlite Diamond Project in Eastern Sierra Leone. Plus, I also have Declan Service, CEO of Integumin, that's skin ticker. Good ticker that, isn't it? And Declan talks about the recent orders from blue chip clients for its lab skin product and its visible youth product too. As always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and also the top five most liked RNSs on the platform in the last 24 hours too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Carl Smithson, Chief Executive Officer of Stellar Diamonds. That's STEL. Carl, thanks for joining me again.
Yeah, welcome, Justin. Hi.
It's been over a year since we last spoke, I think.
It has. It's been a busy year as well.
Yeah, well, we'll get into some of the bits you're talking about, the news you've released of late. But before we do that, Carl, can you explain, for people not aware of Stellar Diamonds, what you're all about, please?
Yeah, sure. We're an AIM-listed company, and we're focused on diamond exploration and development, and now mining in West Africa, primarily countries of Sierra Leone and Guinea, although the focus will be on Sierra Leone going forward.
Okay, and why is this? Why? So what's happening? Because I've looked through your RNS feed there in Vox, and I've seen two significant RNSs really. Agreement to sell Guinea assets for $2 million, and also the tribute mining agreement signed over Tongo and Tongouma. So explain why the refocus here, Carl.
Yeah, it is all about refocus, as you rightly say. Look, in Sierra Leone, we've got an agreement together now, which has actually been, you know, quite a long time in the making, but it's done now, whereby we're combining our license in Sierra Leone that holds a 1.5 million carat diamond resource with the neighboring license, which is a larger license. It's a mining lease already, and that holds 3 million carats in resource. And essentially, the two licenses cover the whole of the very high grade, high value Tongo diamond fields. So we've putting those two together, and we're basically going to mine that as a single mining operation. So in order to do that, we thought that focus was the best things required. So we're divesting out of Guinea. We've reached agreement with another group to sell those assets for $2 million, as you say. We've received part of those funds already. There's some due diligence still to complete, which we don't expect any issues with. And then the balance of the money will come. And then it's all about developing this great asset in Sierra Leone.
Yeah, and so where is this, you know, as far as development, where is this asset at in Sierra Leone at the moment?
It's ready to go. Jointly, the two companies have spent $45 million, which is a lot of money, let me tell you, on exploration and development. So basically, we've got you know, robust resources, we've got a very detailed mine plan, financial model, CPR, you know, we've got everything. So really, it's a matter of pushing the button on the development now. So, you know, Stellar will be evolving from what we previously were an exploration / development company into a mining company.
Yeah, and off the top of your head there, I'm asking you to get some figures if you could. So what are the figures? Can you reel off a couple of figures around this resource?
Yeah, well, 4.5 million carats in resource, 4 million of which are recoverable. Very high grade, as I say, grades, for those that know their diamond grades, are between 100 and 260 carats per 100 tons, which is very high, some of the highest grades you're going to get as far as kimberlites go. And coupled with a high diamond value between 200 and 300 US dollars per carat, makes for a compelling US dollar per ton up to 550 US, which, believe you me, is probably the highest in Africa.
Yeah, and so you said you're ready to go. I mean, how far away are you from being ready to go?
Well, everything in this world is obviously subject to funding, and that's the next challenge now, is to bring the necessary funding into this project. Look, the overall capex requirement is modest as far as diamond mine goes. Some mines, say in Canada, etc., you know, they're $1 billion capex. Yeah. This is not. This is $30 to $35 million required, which we're going to do in staged processes as we see it. And you know, as I say, for bringing a diamond mine into production at levels of what we're estimating at 200,000 carats per year for the long term, for 21 years, this is not a lot of money. But you know, you've got to obviously compare that to our market cap, which is minuscule, and you know, therein lies the challenge. But we feel confident that, you know, the project is compelling enough that we will attract the necessary funding.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, so I'm still looking through the figures there, and it does look quite interesting. So, Carl, if someone's not following you now on Vox Markets, and they like the sound of what you're doing here, give them three reasons why they should follow you, please.
Three reasons. Okay, so as I say, not many companies actually graduate from exploration to mining. We're going to do that, and it's going to happen, you know, in the imminent future, subject to the funding, of course. We've de-risked the project completely. $45 million has been spent, so you know, this is real. This is happening. So I would say that is point one. It's quick into production. You know, based on the capex, the relatively low capex, the infrastructure that's already in place. You know, we expect to see first diamonds within 12 months of starting the development. And as you can imagine, when you've got a compressed time frame like that, and there's so much going on, there's going to be regular news flow that is coming through. And obviously, that is what obviously you know, certain investors like to see progress. And you know, I think the most compelling point is valuation. We, as I said earlier, we're a $4 million market cap. The detailed financial model points to a post-tax stellar attributable NPV of $109 million, and there's a massive disparity therefore in our market cap to the project. And the, you know, the key is unlocking the value in the project into the stellar share price. And I've just thought of a fourth one, which I may, if I throw it in for free. Mm-hmm. These are great diamonds. I've mentioned the high grade before, but you know, this diamond product is from Sierra Leone. It's renowned in the international diamond market, and it will have a very good following in terms of diamond buyers. So you know, there is a market for this product.
Marvellous, Carl. Thanks for that. And like you said, you've got hopefully a bit of news coming out in the next few weeks to months. So hopefully we'll chat again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Cheers, Justin. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Declan Service, CEO of Integumin. And ticker there is SKIN. Excellent ticker. Declan, thanks for coming on back on, fella.
Great to be here again, Justin. Good to talk.
Now, you've had some news out since we last talked, and we'll get to that in a bit. But as always, what I like to do for people new to the podcast or haven't heard of the company, could you give a brief summary, Declan, as to what Integumin is all about, please?
Okay, thanks, Justin. Firstly, starting with the name, it's an unfamiliar word, integument, but it's a good, great relation to the business. It's from the integumentary system, and that is the coating of the body, the skin, which is the body's largest organ, the hair, the teeth. And it suggests, and it's true, that we focus on that domain, if you want to call it that, the surface of the body. We built the company by acquiring a series of products and technologies that focus on the human surface. Our strapline is human surface science. So we're looking at the skin, the mucosa, and the hair. We have several products on the market, lab skin, which we'll talk about, TS1, tongue sanitation, a blemish control technology, and coming soon, Visible Youth, a range of cosmeceuticals.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, well, let's talk about the last bit of news, which was entitled Integumin Wins and New Orders for Lab Skin. So just briefly explain, if you could, what Lab Skin is all about and where the orders coming from, Declan. What does this mean for you?
Okay, Justin. Lab skin is a living skin equivalent. We grow it in our labs in York. It's made from human skin cells. Since 2013, it's been illegal to test any cosmetic or personal care products on animals. And lab skin is the closest we can get to a human skin equivalent that companies can use to test for antibacterial properties, for nourishing properties, and indeed for pharma and medtech companies. So we have got a growing business there. We said, coming to the IPO, that our first focus was going to be and getting traction. And this is just letting people know that we're succeeding in what we're doing. I mean, Labskin, we're operating now with companies such as Merck, who are evaluating the product. We have an order from Galderma. Galderma is Nestle Skincare, so it's one of the largest skincare companies in the world and a prestigious company to work with. And several others beside that, La Prairie, high-end cosmeceuticals. So we can either sell Labskin as a consumable to these companies, and that's what we're doing with Merck and Galderma and others. And we can provide services in York in our labs there to companies like La Prairie, where we'll test ingredients for their formulations on our living skin equivalent.
Yeah, well, do you know, integumin sounds... Labskin, it sounds amazing. It sounds like something really brought from the future to time now, doesn't it? And it's phenomenal how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a timely product, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's got some fantastic features, and we believe that better features than our competitors. Well, one amazing thing is that it heals itself. So if you injure it with a scalpel, it will heal like normal human skin. The second unique selling point, we believe, it's so close to human skin, it can host the bacteria on its surface. So recently we've been targeting wound care companies where infected wounds are a blight in the population. So we've got a product here, a skin equivalent that you can wound, have it heal, apply bacteria, and apply dressings to test their efficacy, in killing those bacteria. Yeah. The other big swing and interest these days is the microbiome. If I could say that 20 years ago the focus was on the gut, that was the microflora, the bugs living in your gut, and we saw a great flurry of activity with products focusing on probiotics, Actimel, some Yakult, some of these drinks. The real focus today has moved onto the surface, and it's called the microbiome. And the microbiome is the selection of bacteria that live in somebody's skin. And the interesting thing is it's different for everybody, different proportions on each individual human. And companies are really trying to target this in the cosmetics, personal care, and medical world to come up with an individual solution to an individual problem. Mm-hmm. So our ability to host microflora is a big plus for us in this area.
Yes. So just to get in my head, so Labskin will be predominantly used by companies, like you say, to test their products on it. Is that the case?
That's correct. Before they'd move into, for pharmaceutical companies, before they'd move into clinical trials, and for cosmetics companies who, they don't perform clinical trials as such, they will perform user studies. So it's used to test claims, backup claims, look at toxicology of their ingredients before they go to human trials.
Okay. And do you know, for example, with Merck, how long they'll be testing it for, how long these companies will be testing it for before you get any kind of response from them?
In general, it happens very quickly because Labskin, it's made to order. So when a company orders it, they know the date they will receive it. They will have an array of experiments set up to conduct on that day or the next day. So it's a very fast turnaround results-wise. So we would expect to get verification, feedback, shortly after they receive the product. I should have mentioned that it actually takes 28 days to grow. So made to order takes 28 days to become like a fully differentiated model. It's got a dermis, a stratum corneum, an epidermis. So yeah, it's a quick turnaround for feedback.
Yeah. Okay. And so what's next then, Declan? You mentioned Labskin. What else? You did mention another product there, didn't we? Haven't heard of before.
Visible Youth.
Yes.
Yeah, what we've realized in the last few months, we have a range of cosmeceuticals under the, we think, fantastic brand name of Visible Youth. And looking at the market, we think the time is now, and we're going to accelerate the launch of those products to hopefully early next year. Visible Youth, it's five different products with a patented unique formulation. It's got hyaluronic acid in it, which a lot of products in the market have today, but our unique and we think game changer is active bioglass. So we've got a patented formulation, we've got fantastic panel results from the public, and we're going to enter a fast-growing market, which is anti-aging. People will say immediately it's a crowded market, but if you look behind the cover, if you like, the growth has been fueled by niche brands, and Visible Youth will be a niche brand for sure to start with. But we've got great feedback from users to date, and we really want to get on the ball and get that out into the market as soon as we can.
Excellent stuff. And Declan, as always, what I like to do is ask you for three reasons why someone should hit the follow button, because every day I do feature the top five most followed companies. So if someone's listening now and they like the sound of your products, then please give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please.
Well, sure. I mean, we're actually doing what we said in the tin at IPO. We're focusing on Labskin. We're focusing on TS1, our tongue sanitation product. We're getting progress, traction, and growth in both of those. And at the same time, looking forward, we really think that Visible Youth will be, probably one of the biggest parts of the company as we move forward into 2018, and we're getting ready to launch that. We hope to have some news on that in the coming weeks, and perhaps we'll talk again. But it's really, we're doing what we said, we're getting traction, and we've got really good products in the pipeline coming to market soon.
Excellent, Declan, good to chat to you, and hopefully speak again soon.
Thanks a lot, Justin. Good to talk.
Okay, time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are: at 5, Asia Met Resources, ARS. At 4, Echo Energy, Echo. At 3, 88 Energy, 88E. At 2, all the usual suspects so far, Ascent Resources, AST. And at 1, a new number 1. Amazing rise today. Let me just check out where it is, actually. Last time I looked, it was up 47%. Where is it at the moment? It's dropped a bit, but it's still up 30-odd percent. And that is 7 Digital. 7DIG on a new acquisition they've done there for one of their competitors. Hopefully we'll get Simon on the podcast very soon. Okay, top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets. At 4, Codal Minerals. That's further wide high-grade lithium mineralization. At 4, Providence Resources, PVR, commercial update. That's the receiving about 20 million, I think, from Total. At 3, Blenheim Natural Resources, BNR. That's progress report. That's late yesterday afternoon. At 2, it's 88 Energy and Icewine 2 operations update. And number one most liked RNS was from Talou Energy, TLOU, first gas to power generation. That sounds good, doesn't it? That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados. God, it's hot, isn't it?
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.